Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best. Where the paranormal is normal. Where that which you thought you knew, you didn't. And where the future can be known if you know exactly where to look.
Well, good evening, everyone. This is Stuart, and I'm trying to dial up Larry here because he gets booted out all the time, and nothing is happening. So I'm not sure what to do here. I'll maybe cancel this one and try again. I don't know what else to do here. Sorry for this, folks, but Blog Talk Radio is getting horrible this way. You just can't seem to get anything accomplished. People call in and they get bumped off, and there's all kinds of weird stuff going on.
Greetings.
Yeah, I had a... First time I tried to get you, it didn't work.
Wow.
So I'm glad you're on board. we got a lot of weird stuff going on. Before we get started, though, I wanted to talk to everybody. We've got the frequency. The Mind Matrix is now here in paperback. They just arrived. And we sent out our first batch tonight or today, and we sure hope people will order it. We're getting some really good reviews on it, as good if not better than the first book, and it really does explain things, folks, in a manner that, how do I word this? I think the time is coming when your loved ones are going to really start asking questions. Why is the country going the way it's going? What has happened? What is going on here? And you better have some answers for them about the faith. Why is Christianity so hated in the first place? Even when science proves it's true, and this is what we do in the Mind Matrix and Book One, is proved that science already has proved that what Jesus Christ had to say is absolutely true, every bit of it. But they themselves deny everything when it comes to Christianity or paranormal or whatever. And anyway, it goes on and on when it comes to arguing with scientists about what's really happening. I wanted to just read once again, though, in the movie Matrix, the first movie, where Neo is being spoken to. The Matrix is a system, Neo. That system is our enemy. But when you're inside, you look around. What do you see? Businessmen, teachers, lawyers, carpenters, the very minds of the people we are trying to save. But until we do, these people are still a part of that system, and that makes them our enemy. You have to understand, most of these people are not ready to be unplugged. Well, I'm going to stop on that one right there, because that's exactly what's going on. In Frequency, the Mind Matrix, we talk about how the veil was brought down over the minds of humanity. And you're not aware that there is a veil. It's a secret veil, but it's a hidden veil. But it is there. And you don't really realize it's there until the veil is lifted and you are shown what's really, really going on. And it's a shocker when that veil is lifted and you begin to realize what a deception and what a delusion that this planet really is. And the overlord of this whole system is, in fact, Satan, that old serpent who deceives the entire planet, just like the Book of Revelation says he does. And anyway, we tried to gel this down in its most simple terms so that nobody who reads that book can ever be confused again about Christianity or what it really is, and not what the liars and prevaricators are saying it is. They're raking in millions and millions of dollars. They're lying to their flocks. They're fleecing them out of everything, including their salvation. Jesus warned about it. John warned about it. Peter warned about it. They've all warned about it. In fact, you can find the warnings in the Old Testament as well. And yet, for all that, the multitudes flock to these liars who are destroying, actually, Christianity and have redacted almost everything Jesus Christ himself personally said about salvation. And we get emails all the time about this and criticizing us and our stance. I don't really care. I'm telling the truth. I told the truth in Matrix 1. I've told it in the Mind Matrix, and I'll tell it in the Digital Matrix. I'm not political. I don't care. I'm not in a populist movement. I don't really care whether I'm popular or hated. In fact, Jesus told me I would be hated when I started out this thing, just like he was hated. And we are in, folks, a delusionary matrix, and a true Christian, is behind enemy lines. The world hates Christianity. You're seeing it surface now, big time in America. The far left, the communists, they will kill every Christian they can get their hands on if they ever get to power. And not only the Christians, they will kill anybody who believes in the Bill of Rights, motherhood, apple pie, et cetera, et cetera. They have their marks on you. And yet, for all of that, in 2016, I think it was, or 2018, I can't remember, when Trump was elected, Hillary actually won by popular vote. Hillary Clinton is an avowed communist. She said that the American people should be sent to FEMA camps for re-education. We have military manuals talking about these re-education camps published by the United States Army. And people can't believe there are 800 of these FEMA torture camps, death camps, in the United States. This is exactly what went on in Germany when Hitler rose to power. I don't understand why people are so blind, other than the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has blinded them, because he intends to terminate them as well, because they are absolutely disobedient to everything he says. And yet, they claim they're Christians, and they claim they stand on every word of the Bible, and they are liars, or they are so delusional and so deceived, they don't realize that they have repudiated half of the Bible already. I've run into it. Larry's run into it. Anybody that's out there trying to wake up the people has run into this, the hatred they have for the real message of God. They don't want anything to do with God. They are into their own pleasures and into everything that they want to do, and God can fly a kite somewhere. And it's just too bad to watch all of this happen. But anyway, I don't want to get on a big rant about all that. But folks, really, my dad died when I was a little kid. He committed suicide. And that was a rough time for me when he died. We didn't always get along too well. But I thank the Lord for him every day now as I'm older, and I realize what all he actually meant. But when you're a little kid and you have that happen to you, you begin to wonder, what is all this about? What is life really all about? What is really going on? We have a million different religions. We have, I don't know how many thousand of Christian denominations. many of which contradict each other, all of them claiming they have the truth. Just believe what the Baptists say. Believe what the Lutherans say. Believe what the Methodists say. Believe what the Assembly of God people say. Believe the evangelicals. I don't believe any of them. They're all a bunch of liars. They don't have a clue as to what's really going on, and I prove it. I absolutely prove it in The Mind Matrix. It's the most important book I've ever written. And I read it, and I wrote it under the direction of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know what to tell people. I just hope you will order it. And I'll guarantee it. You order this book, and you're not satisfied with it, I'll refund every dime you invested in it. It's just important to me to people read this. And it all started way long ago, long, long time ago. Even before my dad died, I was always a kid that was searching for the truth and wanted to know what was really going on. And my best friends were animal friends, actually. And I don't know. Everybody has their childhood stories. But long, long time ago, I can remember walking up the road one day and from a church on a Sunday afternoon, or a Sunday around noon, I guess it was, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, the book you're carrying, which is my Bible that I had been given when I was like 2 years old, he said, this book is the most important book in the world. And like every other little kid, although I wondered about it, I put it on the shelf and forgot about it, as everybody else does. Went out a-whoring in the world trying to figure out all everything that, you know, you can get in the material world. But the Lord would have none of it. And he called me back from what he had told me when I was just a little boy, that that book is the most important book in the world. It is the only truthful book in the world. And if you play with it, you're going to die in your sins. I don't know any other way to tell you that. You cannot play with the Word of God. It's either absolutely, totally true, or it's the biggest lie ever perpetrated on humanity. And you got to make up your mind which it is. And if it is the truth, you better bury yourself in it from now on. We are at the verge of total ruin. Everybody mocks at the so-called four in Washington. They're crazy to be mocking these four people and Nancy Pelosi and Schumer and the rest of these communists. You're crazy to mock these people, laugh at them, and think they're nuts. You better be careful. They mean to bring America down. They mean to kill everyone listening to my voice. I don't care if you're deep state. As soon as they get a chance, they will kill you for aiding and abetting them to get into power. This has gone down in communist nations time after time after time after time. Don't believe it? Look at what happened in China. Don't believe it? Look at what happened in Russia. They kill everyone that aids and abets them to power. Just like the Bible says, basically. And the Bible says we are headed into a beast system, unlike anything the world has ever seen. And I believe Trump has slowed it down, but there's no way he's going to win. He can't. He's here for Israel, and when his job is done, I can tell you right now, the Lord's hand will be lifted from Trump, and that'll be the end. He is going to terminate the United States. Larry sent me a prophecy, and I want to read part of that. Remember that, Larry, the prophecy you sent up about Babylon?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Darren Smith wrote this. And I want to read this to you because a lot of people claim, well, we're not Babylon. There's no way we're Babylon. I got news for you. We are Babylon. Folks, the Lord told me that many, many, many years ago. Okay, here's what he said. The Lord kept me up most of the night, bringing a word for me to share and to share now. Many times I wait until I have prayed over what I hear in my spirit. I can't wait to send this word out. Last night, while praying before I went to bed, the Lord gave me a vision that really rattled me. In the vision, I saw this land split into four parts, with each one under its own flag. Each region had terrible destruction. Many people were dead. As I looked over the destruction, I was crying. And the Lord asked me, "Why are you crying over the fall of Babylon? As a matter of fact, why have you been praying for the healing of Babylon?" In this vision, I didn't have an answer. And the Lord, opened a scroll and started reading off the indictments against our country. But before each one, he clearly called the USA Babylon. Now, we have so-called prophetic experts, big-time people in the prophetic field here in America, big-time people. They deny America's Babylon. They're liars, or they're very, very delusional and very, very deceived. We are Babylon. Personally, I think they know that we're Babylon. In fact, I had a friend of mine who went to one of these prophecy conferences, and he went up to one of the big-time speakers, and he asked, do you think America is Babylon the Great? And the guy said, "Oh, of course. No question at all." "Well, do you think New York City is the great city Babylon?" "Well, of course. That's obvious. No problem at all." Then he went up on stage and denied it. This is what you're dealing with. They won't tell you the truth because they want the money. They want the money. It's not that some of them don't have a lot to say, but their salvation message is nuts. It's not in the Bible. Not in there at all. Anyway, the list was long, he says, and to the point. With such points as the killing of several generations of unborn children. Besides this charge, he added that these babies had been sacrificed to the god of self. The list also included greed, idolatry, pride, fornication, and many others. So many I could not even read them all. And as I looked at the list of charges, I was overwhelmed and broken by the fact that we live every day in a nation that is so far removed from God and in total opposition to the kingdom of God, yet we are comfortable here. We have become like Lot, living in Sodom. The prosperity that the nation offers us has blinded us from the evil that rules this land. We complain about how bad it is, but stay attached to it with every ounce of strength we have. The Lord told me to look at this nation as he sees it, not through my eyes, but through his. I could not look too long before I had to agree and repent of loving Babylon. Once I repented, the Lord told me to prepare for the fall as time is running out. Now, I don't think he's talking about fall in a season. I think he's talking about fall Babylon. I must preach the gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel of America. Civil unrest will become commonplace in large cities first, but will spill over to the rural areas as well. Natural disasters will stretch the resources of the nation to the breaking point, and the government will use this to take our freedoms away. In this vision, there was a great wasteland that appeared to be in the center of the nation, where everything was wiped out, and I saw masses of people wandering without direction. They were dirty and ragged, almost dead, and there was no relief in sight. Most of you reading this think I'm crazy, I'm sure, but I must be faithful to share what I have given to share. The Lord told me to cry from the mountaintops to repent and seek the Lord now We don't have any more time to seek after the things of this world. We must stop living like we have all the time in the world. We must stop crying over the fall of Babylon and press into the kingdom. Well, that's what I've been teaching here for years. It just sums it up very, very well. People don't want to face the truth, so they make up all kinds of excuses so they don't have to face it. America's not Babylon because I don't want it to be Babylon. You can take a person like that and you can show him 150 parameters that prove America's Babylon, and he'll just look at them and mock you. Those people are lost. They're lost in their sins because they do the same thing with salvation. You can sit down and you can show people verse after verse after verse after verse of Scripture, and they deny it all. It doesn't apply to us. It doesn't apply. Who told them it didn't apply? I don't recall Jesus ever telling anyone ever that his words did not apply to the Christians, because his words were all about entering the kingdom. And yet we ignore all of it. We totally ignore it. So anyway, enough of that. Where do you want to start? Let's go over to the Gulf. That seems to be heating up fairly rapidly, which of course is part and parcel of biblical prophecy of what's going to happen over there. And where do you want to start with that one? Or if you got any comments with what I said.
Yeah, I wanted to make a comment on what you said. One thing that struck me was when you said that people refuse to recognize America as Babylon because they didn't want it to be Babylon. And yes. I think you're exactly right there. That's most of the, really the resistance, if you will, in Christendom, is the fact that they don't have any proof that America's not Babylon. As a matter of fact, the perimeters biblically show America has to be Babylon, but still they deny it, and I think it's simply because they don't want it. But what's so shocking is I don't think heaven necessarily is impressed with their lack of looking into the issue and searching it out.
No, in fact, the Lord told you to do that when he said, ask, seek, knock, strive, labor for the truth, labor for, continue in my doctrines. If you've got a half a brain, you're supposed to be able to do that. Now, obviously, people who can't do that are either exempted. I mean, if people are mentally challenged or they're not in the age of accountability, the Lord has a program for all those. But when you have a sound mind and you absolutely refuse what the Lord tells you, you're in a lot of trouble. Jesus said, come to me as a little child. Well, what does that actually mean? It means you better shed off all your biases, all your religious bias, your philosophy biases, your isms. I'm a communist. I'm a Republican. I'm a Democrat. You'd shed all of that when you're approaching the Word of God. Whatever the Word says, that's what it means. And we are all really guilty before the Lord. There's not any of us that isn't guilty before the Lord. And it's just too bad that has been lost on modern Christianity. And the liars, the Christian evangelical leaders and all of those kind of people, they've been lying through their teeth to everybody out here. Why do people think that Christianity is hated right now? What did Jesus say about the salt? We are the salt of the earth. True Christians are the salt of the earth. And he said, how do I word this? We're only fit to be trodden under the foot of man. That's why Christianity is going down the tubes. It's not fit for anything. it's just a shame to watch this. It really brings tears to your eyes when you really stop and think and watch, and you can't stop it. And I know this, Larry feels the same way. You cannot stop it. You're watching it happen. You're screaming at them, and they just look at you like you're a lunatic. And the same goes with deep state. The wicked will never understand. Only the wise understand. You can preach to deep state all you want. They mock you. They roll on the floor laughing. And when they're done killing all the Christians, they'll be happy for a few seconds, and then they're going to find out how real all of this really was. So anyway, what's going on in Iran and the seizure now of two UK tankers? Now, I did read, Larry, that one of them that was detained was released. Did you hear that or read that anywhere?
Well, I haven't been able to verify it, but I've seen some intelligence on it, and that's unverifiable. The last report I had seen indicates that Iran has seized up to now four tankers. And
wow.
You know, and so they're on a move. And what's interesting, if you can, you know, if you read Hal Turner's information, he seems to indicate that the UK, in other words, Britain, has gone into emergency, I can't remember the term he used over there, but it's some kind of call in of all the parliament and the ones basically that run the military and the UK, and they're in an emergency meeting at the very this very moment. And then also there are indications that, you know, I still can't verify that we have warplanes, U.S. warplanes flying over U.S. tankers. In other words, any U.S. flag tanker or U.S. tanker is being guarded by the Air Force. There is a report that I also cannot verify that says in the Middle East they've gone to DEFCON 3. So this is getting more serious by the moment.
Yeah, it appears so. And, you know, when Trump was, he gave a brief, impromptu press conference before he left for Florida. He didn't seem very ruffled at all. He was kind of nonchalant. Well, you know, that's England. It's not us. And we're allies. But he more or less kind of said, well, that's not our problem. That's the UK's problem. And I'm wondering, I know you and I talked about this off the air, how, you know, England has not been necessarily very friendly with Trump. And Trump, of course, is a fighter. So he hasn't necessarily been too pleasant with them. But when you're having seizures of oil tankers, this is escalation, don't you think? And the other thought I had was, well, maybe Trump's going to do plenty, because he did say we're going to have a big event. And then he kind of dropped it. What do you think? What's going on there?
Well, knowing Trump and how he previously had the missiles in the air before anybody knew about it that went into Syria, and watching him a number of times, he does a little bit like spy ops, you know, or psyops. You know, he says one thing, but that's not exactly what he's getting at. And I'm beginning to wonder that if there appears to be a plan against Iran that's already in play to some degree. We've got a lot of military movement in the Middle East at this moment, by the way, and it's very possible that he just kind of fluffed that off, not wanting to draw attention to it because of some kind of operation already ongoing.
Yeah, that's what made me wonder, because according to Hal Turner, let's see if I can find his... I mean, the BBC News is even reporting all this. So we have vetted this, folks. No, there's no question that they have seizing our oil tankers, or any oil tanker. I guess it doesn't matter what flag it flies under. What do you think they're doing? I mean, Larry, they got to know. I mean, they can do us a lot of damage. There's absolutely no question. They can do a ton of damage to the United States military. But they will be pulverized in that process. Why do you think they're doing this? Is this they going to maybe think they're going to negotiate the release of the oil tanker maybe that the UK seized? Or what is this about?
Well, you know, the history of Iran basically is, you know, they're really no-nonsense guys. I mean, all they want is an apocalyptic war so their Mahdi can come, so they certainly don't mind death and destruction. You know, that's not a problem for them. As a matter of fact, that's what all their generals in Iran scream every day is, you know, death to America, death to Israel, you know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's nonstop. But what's interesting is if you watch especially the history with Iran, they always bring things to the edge of the abyss. In other words, you know, like remember under Carter, you know, they did the big deal there and they went right up to the edge and Carter back down. And, well, they finally released the people, the Americans, you know, over there. And the same thing with Israel. You know, they taunt Israel and attack Israel through their proxies daily, almost, and Israel responds, but they don't take it far enough to go nuclear, particularly, but they do really cause a lot of damage and really a lot of terror. And so I think they're either taking this to the brink to get the world's attention, because I heard one of the generals on Fox today indicating, he said, well, if they seize a number of tankers, they're not going to hurt the U.S. We got plenty of oil. But what they can do really quickly is hinder and hurt and starve the UK and the EU, which is Europe, and some of the countries that, you know, are our allies. And that's where they could hurt us. But the situation is really strange, Stuart, because, and I'd like your opinion on this, if they suddenly go into Daniel 8, then I guess you could say the game's over, basically, biblically, isn't it?
Yeah, it would be, because I guess there are a lot of people who, you know, they interpret Daniel 8 differently, but there was a rabbi over in Israel, and he's worked on Daniel 8 for a number of years, and he released a paper on it, and I would have to say I agree with him 100% that the United States and Iran go at it, and we more or less pulverize. We don't destroy them, but we do come after them and really do a lot of damage. It's an aerial attack. It's not necessarily ground-based. We probably would have an awful time with a ground-based attempt to attack. So it would be much smarter to use cruise missiles, bombers, et cetera, and just wipe out their key communications and nuke facilities and all that. So, yeah, but, you know, it's kind of interesting that the other thing they might be trying to do, insurance companies take a dim view of this kind of stuff. And these people that have these tankers are insured up to the hilt. What happens if the insurance companies say, we're not going to insure you anymore? It's too dangerous, too many losses. Wouldn't that dry up the oil shipments? And I do remember Steve Quayle had a vision, he said, and he saw $9.95 a gallon, and I guess that was if you could even get it, gasoline. I mean, they have a number of things that they could do that would really irritate the West and make us look like the bad guys if we respond with military force. I know Trump did say today that he was maybe going to increase sanctions to the point where they would be really bloodied. What do you think?
Well, you may be right. What that is an interesting concept, Stuart, because of the fact that actually without shutting down the Strait of Hormuz militarily, if they actually cause enough trouble with the tankers for the insurance folks to decide, well, we're just not going to insure any more ships that go through the Strait of Hormuz, then that would mean that the tankers, the ownership of the tankers, would simply not want to take that gamble because they could lose everything. Lose a ship, you lose it all. And that would effectively, Stuart, shut down the oil coming through the Strait of Hormuz, not militarily, but by terror.
Yeah, be a financial kind of a blackmail routine. Kind of interesting. I've got an article here. So what we know about Stena and Puro. This is a brand new tank. It's only a year old. And it's worth millions of dollars. So I guess they really weren't sure whether it was loaded or not loaded with oil. But I'm sure Iran knows. So the game is played, right? I mean, the game is played. Before we run out, we got some time yet. Mothman. The reason I bring it up, folks, is Mothman sightings in Chicago, as far as I know, are still continuing. And Mothman sightings in Mount Pleasant, just before the bridge collapse, they were there for about 2 years, I guess. They had some really strange encounters with this creature that everybody dubbed Mothman. And anyway, somebody did some research on this. And found out that the Hopi, and I'm wondering if other Native Americans do not have Mothman in their ancient teachings. What do you think, Larry? I know your wife ran into one of those, and I don't know if it was a Mothman, but it was similar.
Yeah, it was very telling, and what. What she indicated was it was one of the ancient creatures, if you will, or ancient entities of some type, you know, that had wings. And it was very dramatic. She, you know, I think she told that on one of your shows. But yes. This is kind of interesting because I sent that to Stan Dale but hadn't heard anything back from him yet. But if the drawings are accurate, that, you know, and I sent you the article, so you've seen some of the drawings. It, you know, the Aztecs apparently documented the Mothman creature in art, you know, over and over and over. But I never connected it until I saw these, and they tied it with the Mothman. And what's interesting, Stuart, and I'd like your opinion here, you know, this creature apparently has the ability or the challenge to disseminate apocalyptic information or catastrophic information just before a disaster, and if I remember right, Stuart, if they were aware of this entity, the Aztecs, and documented him in their art, then actually they became extinct. Remember, pretty much,
yes,
the Aztecs
did.
Are all gone. And it makes you wonder, if we're seeing so much Mothman sightings in today, modern era, is if you...
Hello?
Uh-oh. Did I get thrown out?
No, I can hear you.
Okay, it said I'd lost the host to you. I guess they tried to throw me out. but anyway, that's what was telling to me was that... they apparently celebrated, and Stuart, the Mothman images that they, that appears to be the, what do they call that, Kokopele or whatever entity?
Yes. I guess that's how you pronounce it. I'm not sure, but it looks the same to me, and they've got this article that says from late 1966 through late 1967, the small town of Point Pleasant, West Virginia, along the Ohio River, was terrorized by a series of sightings of an uncanny creature that came to be known as Mothman. He was typically described as broad-shouldered, black or gray humanoid, 7 feet in height, moth-like wings that extended out about 10 feet, which would be on each side. His glowing red eyes seemed to have a hypnotic effect. One of the reasons I'm bringing this up, folks, is we're getting into the area now where these kind of sightings are on the increase. Not just necessarily Mothman, but this deal that's going on in Chicago. and with the Native American prophecies about Chicago and a tsunami, inland tsunami, from Lake Michigan, from an earthquake. That was, I remember Chuck Youngbrandt had a very detailed prophecy about Chicago being totally destroyed. And in this thing I told you about, I read to you this prophecy from this guy. Remember what he said about the middle of the country? It had been devastated.
Yeah.
Been devastated. So that's probably what he's referring to. It's this inland tsunami. A gigantic earthquake hits in the middle of Lake Michigan, according to Red Elk. This is what he claims he was shown. And the ground rose up about 800 or 1,000 feet to the south and sunk to the north. And that spread all the water up into Canada and wiped out everything that was to the north for a ways. And he didn't say how far it went, but quite a ways. Well, then it shifted the other way, and the whole Lake Michigan went down all the way to the Gulf, wiping out everything in its path. That would seem to be like what this prophecy said, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, and what's interesting, Stuart, this has been ongoing around Chicago for quite some time now, these sightings and appearances.
Yes. And then the other ones that people have reported is, what did Red Elk call those? they're like an eagle. I just can't think of the name of something bird.
Yeah, big bird, not big bird particularly, but thunderbirds.
Thunderbirds, yes. And we had a sighting of thunderbirds by a farmer up in Minnesota. He said the wingspan was about 30 feet. They flew over one of his silos, two of them. Now, I don't know, folks, if what we're watching is, Red Elk called it the thinning of the veil. And that as the veil thins, you're seeing these things. And it's a kind of a quirk. We've had a number of those kind of incidences where you've had a time shift. My dad had a time shift. He went into a town that wasn't even there. Scared him half to death. And they went back looking for the town, couldn't find it because it wasn't really there. I call it the Mandela effect or whatever. We don't have a clue, folks, as to the true nature of the universe, as we're going to start finding out time shifts and weird creatures and sightings all over the place. UFO sightings are just going everywhere now. And any more you want to talk about on this Mothman? I mean, this is, when you really look at the murals and the paintings they did, he's been around a long time, hasn't he?
Well, apparently, from civilization to civilization. And by the way, Stuart, you know, friends of yours that live in Oklahoma, you know, they've got a place on their land where they can actually hear people talking on the other side of something, but they can't see them, but they can clearly hear them. And it's like a village or something on the other side of this veil, and they can hear them clearly. And then at the same time, Stuart, you remember when I did something at Hevener, you know, all of this stuff came, a bunch of cloud-like things with faces came over them, and they didn't know what I was doing, and I didn't know what happened to them until we all got together. But also up in this area, there's been people seen dinosaurs, all kind of strange creatures, upright wolves. I mean, this is just really going on and on and on. And it is absolutely so bizarre. You know, you and I kind of catch some of the information coming out, but most generally nobody ever hears about this stuff.
Well, I think a lot of people are, you know, they're scared to reveal. We've got a neighbor, I'd love to interview her soon, but she has a lot of very weird events happening in her life and in the spiritual end of things, but yet knows things about people that they don't even know yet, events that are going to happen, that do happen. And of course, you know, the Mothman, that was made into a movie. Richard Gere played in that. It's an excellent movie.
Oh, yeah.
If you haven't seen it, folks, go get it. It is based upon a true account. And that Mount Pleasant Bridge collapsed, and they knew how many people were going to die in that because they had been told that by the Mothman. And that's the number of people that actually perished. There's a lot of weird stuff going on. In fact, I had, and I would ask anybody that's had an incident like this to email me at enigma@trueinsight.com. It's on Lightgate Blogger and the Lightgate Blogger. You can get the links for the email. But I was in my car, and I made a corner, and the car stopped. It just stopped. And no power. Didn't matter if you turned the key on. And I thought, well, maybe the battery's gone. But nothing. Absolutely no power at all. And so sat there for a little bit, turned the key back on, power was there, started up, and drove. Now, this is the second time that's happened to me. And it made me wonder if I wasn't being tracked and they were just fooling with me and pushing a button and stopping the car, which they can do by satellite. But that's kind of arrogant to think that you're so important that they want to stop you on a corner. So I was thinking more along the lines that this is a Cliff High and the bots were talking about. And I think we're heading into this area where he said there would be electromagnetic tornadoes that would be traveling around. They're invisible. You'd never see them. They don't stir up the wind or do anything like that. But if you drive into one, your car goes absolutely dead. It was like a UFO thing, Larry, where, you know, you've seen like in Close Encounters where all the vehicles just stop and the electronics is gone, or they go ape. One or the other.
Yeah, you didn't have any missing time, did you?
Not that I know of. Maybe I'll find out here in a little while.
Okay.
But, yeah, that was kind of spooky, and I had that happen once before with another vehicle. It just stopped, and I had to wait up 2 or 3 minutes, and then all of a sudden all the lights came back on, and I was able to drive, and it never happened again in that vehicle. So I don't know. There's a lot of weird stuff, but folks, if you're having weird things happen, particularly along the electromagnetic lines, or if you're involved in static electricity increases and stuff like that, or you've had weird sightings, please email us or Larry. And this is... all of this stuff is going to really start increasing as we move in, and I think we are so very, very close to Daniel's 70th week. What's going on in Iran now is, I think, part of prophecy, and this is the, how do we call this, precursor events to Daniel 8. And then we have Isaiah chapter 17, and we have Ezekiel 38:39. And the nations are getting restless, very restless. And it's going to not only be very scary, but very, very interesting, too, I guess one could say. What else you got, Larry?
I was going to also comment that there's been a couple of movies made exactly like... you know, what you described. I mean, not only UFO movies, but also movies about solar anomalies and the core, I think, had some of that data in it. And
yes.
Another movie about the scenarios within the planet that were causing electromagnetic changes. And we do know, according to some of the data, Mitch Bertros and others that are talking about how that the sun is apparently causing the core of this planet to go egg-shaped instead of round, and it's closer to the surface in some areas, causing anomalies.
Yeah, there is a guy, they videotaped it, and I'm not sure where it was. I wish I could remember where it was, but the gravity shifts, and you can get out of your car or walk beside it with it turned off, but in neutral, and your car will actually go uphill, and it'll climb a fairly steep hill. That's got to be a gravity anomaly. And we're going to have, well, we got the North Atlantic anomaly. We're going to have more and more anomalies, folks, as we get closer and closer to this magnetic pole reversal. And the pole reversal, magnetic reversal, is usually first, and then comes the crustal shift of Isaiah chapter 24. We're really entering into that sort of thing, and you're going to see a lot of weird things begin to happen. But do let us know when you run into some of these things, so that we can report them to people so we don't all feel like we're totally nuts when these things occur. I mean, Larry, you've had a lot of that kind of stuff happen down there in the Heavener area. Any more news coming out of there at all?
Not at the moment. I've made some contacts with L.A. Marzulli, who's interested in going there and observing that location, and then also, you know, I referred to someone the other day as you know, from the Fort Worth area that was also interested in looking at that. So there is some interest. There seems to be a lot of information, but it's a very strange place. I mean, what can I say? It's just bizarre, and, you know, you've got two friends that apparently has some insight into what was going on, you know, and they were really talking about creatures that appeared to have Asian descent, and they were in the air.
Yes. Yeah, it's there's a lot of weird stuff going on, and you know, people report ghosts, and nobody knows what they are. I mean, the Lord talked about them, actually. You see, you know, when I think it was Doubting Thomas pinched him and said, "See, I'm not a ghost. I'm not a spirit. I'm solid." And then he goes and walks through a solid wall. Well, that is a technology, a personal technology, one could say, where you're solid, but you can walk through a solid wall simply by changing your frequency. Remember what Tesla said. If you want to think about the universe, think in terms of frequency, vibrations, and energy. When you start thinking along those lines, then you begin to realize what Jesus Christ was telling us scientifically, which is why I wrote those books. Once you grasp what this is really all about, all of this makes total sense as to how he could do that, why he said what he said, the attraction that people have for planet Earth. After all, you're born here, you grow up here, you live here, you have a strong attraction to the things of this world. And Jesus said you better disengage from this world. There's a reason why he said it. We are in a lockdown matrix. And it's much more real than people realize. And in the book, The Mind Matrix, I get into all the things that happened when the veil came down upon us. And stuff we can't see, stuff we have absolutely no awareness of it at all. And it's just fascinating. And all these events, like they had a lady who was flying a light aircraft over Bermuda, and the tower operator saw her. She radioed in, and she said she can't find the airport. And they said, "Well, you're right. You're coming up upon it right now." And she said, "There's nothing below me but trees and forest." And they said, "No. You're coming right over the airport. Look straight down. Turn. Make a turn. You'll see it." "No," she says, "there's nothing here. It's all forest." and they never found her, never found the airplane. She vanished. What was going on? I think the same thing that happened to my dad. What was going on was a time shift. He went into another time, almost like the Mandela effect. Speaking about the Mandela effect, have you heard any more about that, Larry?
No, but I was going to mention something else before we ran out of time, because I'd
yes.
like your opinion. One thing we haven't talked about in a while is the Destroyer or Planet X or any of this, but Marshall Masters put something out the other day. It was kind of interesting, YouTube. He was talking about Planet X and the Nemesis Cloud, what he referred to as the Nemesis Cloud, and
right.
Said that apparently unless you're just looking from the right angle, a lot of this system is hidden by this massive cloud layer or some kind of a layer of something. And I was trying to remember the Colbran. Didn't it also talk about some kind of cloud that accompanied that system?
Yes. Yes, that's why you can't see it. That's why it takes infrared telescopes to pierce through the cloud to the actual object. And no, you probably won't see it until it's right on top of you. We are already seeing the preliminary effects of Planet X. That's what's disturbing the sun, along with cosmic waves that are coming in from the core of the Milky Way. There's a fellow that wrote a book called Earth Under Fire, Dr. Paul LaViolette, and he talks about all this. They've actually proven it. They've gone into the ice cores, and they can prove these cosmic waves come through, these gravity waves come through, and the Destroyer is just part of the overall, how do I say, we're having a lot of things coalesce at the wrong time for planet Earth. And humanity basically is going to be wiped out. The rich men know that the humanity is going to be wiped out. That's why they're going underground. That's why they're building all these tunnels. That's why Alternative 3, a base on the moon, bases on Mars, they want to escape. However, the Bible says, I don't care. God says, I don't care where you go. I'm going to go get you. You're not going to escape from me. You're evil. You've done evil, and you can go to the outer regions of the cosmos. I'm going to find you, and I'm going to slay you. I'm going to kill you all for what you did. But it's very, very fascinating that when you look into the Book of the Colbran and find out all of the weird things that went on just before the destruction of the planet, and we are right in the middle of these things, the erratic weather, the earthquakes, the volcanic activity. By the way, earthquakes, quick, what's going on in California? I heard they have more in Washington.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
In that area.
Yeah, that whole coast is shaking. I was really taken back today because basically it was showing the U.S. with almost zero earthquakes except for the West Coast, and they stretched all the way from basically centered in Southern California around that Garlock Fault, if you will, on up along the coast all the way, and had two or three in Washington State, and I noticed yesterday they removed a few of them, and they were not the same quakes. They literally were in different locations and different magnitude and different depth, but they're trying to pull some of these quakes out so you don't know there's so many.
Yeah, this is a little headline from Tyler Durden. He says, this isn't normal. 20 large quakes have hit California within the last 24 hours, and just released that. So, folks, we're beginning. It's all beginning. And we're going to have some rough rides. And food, we didn't have a chance to get into that, but there is shortages showing up in a lot of different places now. So if you haven't done anything about getting some, you better go to it now while you can still get it. Anything else, Larry? We got about a minute left.
Yeah, I would just mention to people to be very cautious this weekend about possibly the earthquakes, but also this massive heat dome that settled down over the U.S., especially the northern states. It's supposed to be really, really bad.
Yep. And heat stroke can kill you. In fact, I was just reading an article where it did kill somebody. A football player, I think he was, working out died from heat stroke. Very serious stuff. Anyway, folks, hang in there. All these are signs that the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is nigh at hand. And so we should just lift up our heads in prayer and thank the Lord for every normal day we have from here on out. And anyway, thanks a lot, Larry, for coming on. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And we'll see you again next week, the Lord willing. And we certainly hope he is. Anyway, good night, folks, and take care of yourselves.